do without doing. Let go and let God do without doing. Nothing impossible or hard. If it's hard, you're doing it. If it's easy, you're proving it. Do without doing. God is in charge. Of myself, I do nothing. That's what the master said. Before he healed, he thanked the Father. Then he raised the dead. Lift your eyes unto the hills and know his love is real. Do without doing. Be guided and be led. The kingdom of God is within you. That's what the master said. No more spending time living from the head. Put your mind and heart together and you feel light as a feather. Do without doing. Be guided and be led. Do without doing. Let go and let God do without doing. Nothing impossible or hard. If it's hard, you're doing it. If it's easy, you're proving it. When you do without doing, God is in charge. I in you and you in me is what the master said. We have our being in the Father. The table is already spread. Be still and know while the world rushes ahead. Do without doing. Be guided and be led. Come on, come on and do without doing. Go and let God do. Without doing, nothing impossible or hard. If it's hard, you're doing it. If it's easy, you're proving it. When you do, without doing. Do, without doing. Do, without doing. God is in charge.
How to tone will soon know how to tone, right?
Right.
Okay.
No right or no
and
wrong.
Feel it from your abs. I used to have a voice teacher that used to make me sing like this. So you can feel it from the center. Deep breath.
perfect. Gentle ones, blessed ones, children of the Most High, I am the one you have called Mary, Mother of Christ, and I am, and you are, for you are birthing the remembrance of the Christ self, of you. You are Mother of Christ as well. Nurture that holy child within you. Laugh. Play, love, go innocently throughout every day, knowing truly that you are nurturing the child of you, the Christ child of you that is wanting to be known in totality, to be able to express in this day and time as the holy innocent one who does not have to be caught up in complexity. Allow yourself to consciously know as the mother that you are bringing forth the birthing of the Christ awakening for yourself. That is what you have been doing in this gathering. And the birthing of the Christ self in the collective consciousness, allowing the collective consciousness to be more light, not to take itself so seriously, so heavily, not to get into judgment so quickly, allowing itself to be innocent as the child, the innocent holy child. Allow yourself to step into the role of mother, as I have exampled for you, the birthing of the Christ child. That is truly what you are doing. And when you have birthed the Christ child, then to hold that one lovingly and to have conversation with the small one that you hold, eye to eye, heart to heart conversation, protect that newborn. Allow that one to know only love, laughter, lightness, and to go in the world protected by its own divinity, protected by your love that you teach it as you are bringing it forth. Allow it to grow from the place where it is birthed in a small infant. That is where you are now, as you have been speaking in this week with each other, and as you have been feeling the change within yourself. Allow it to grow as the small one that will take your hand and you will walk with that one as the Christ child. And then as that one grows, the conversation grows, the communication, the sharing from the divine holy child to the image that you have of yourself as being a personality in the world. And to be able to exchange information, concepts, perspective, so that truly the small one grows to the place where there is the true oneness of equality. You have come through experiences most wonderfully in this week of your gathering. You have been willing to let go of a lot of limitations of who you have thought you had to be, what the friends would think that you had to be as personality, even self-image of what you have thought self-image had to be. You have been willing to let go of that and to come again to the place of just wanting to live in love, to reach out and give the hugs. I have watched you as you would give many, many hugs of greeting to the Christ child of the other one, as you saw the other one to be a separate gathering of energy. You are divinely protected You are divinely guided. You are divinely loved. Allow yourself now to take that fully within yourself and to know it truly from the inside out. Allow yourself to be the mother of you, the mother of your own divine holy child, and to rejoice in the birthing, to rejoice in the conversation, to know that truly you are not just what you have thought yourself to be, as the world would define even a mother, but you are more than that. You are the divine mother that sees all possibilities, all potentialities, and knows truly that everything is sacred. You are the ones who want to be loved. And the best way to find that love is to know your own Christ self, your own Christ child, and to love that Christ child. And as you are in love with that Christ child of you, there is such a feeling of, I will call it, bliss or rapture, that truly cancels out all of the energy of the world and puts you into a space that you have desired, that you have prayed for, that you have hoped for, that you have thought probably could be in another lifetime, maybe not this lifetime, but it can be this lifetime, and it will be this lifetime, because you have decreed that it will be this lifetime. You will go as the mother of the Christ self, and then you will go as the Christ self, for you will come to that place, as I have said, where at first you walk with the hand, and you walk with the small one, and the small one grows to the place where there is the equality. And then there is the oneness of knowing that truly all the time you were one with that Christ self of you. Yeshua was my teacher. He was a handful. He knew the human emotions. He knew how to be a child. And he reveled in being the child, in seeing what he could create. And some of the things that he would create were a bit chaotic because he was learning, remembering, putting together, manifesting his energy, the divine energy of manifesting. And so sometimes his manifestations brought emotions in the other children with whom he associated and played with. Sometimes it brought emotions from the other mothers in the village. I had an interesting time with the other mothers in the village because of Yeshua. He was what you would call precocious, and he would say to the other children certain things that could be done, and the children, being innocent, believed him, and so they would do his example. And the other mothers would come to me and say, why are you allowing your son to teach my son or daughter that there is only love? Cannot you see that there is a warring of the tribes and there is competition, and ones, especially of the male gender, have to be trained to be strong? Why do you let your son speak of gentleness? Why do you let your son talk to my son about gentleness? My son, I want to have raised, they say to me, as strong warrior, to be able to take care of himself, to be able to take care of his family later. And your son is speaking another story. Your son is picking up the seemingly dead bird and holding it in his hand and bringing the bird back to life. What is that teaching my son? They said. A dead bird is a dead bird. Dead is dead. And I want my son to know that there is a finality to life. And if your son is teaching that he can pick up the dead bird and he can hold it in his hand, and by giving it the vibration of love, bring it back to life, that is teaching my son the wrong way about life. Well, I had a great time with the other mothers in the village. They were always complaining to me. They were always coming to me with stories about how their children sometimes compared themselves to Yeshua. And sometimes they had to work with their own self-image, the children. And sometimes they got a little bit frustrated and angry. And then the mothers got angry and came to me and said, why do you allow this to happen? So I had a bit of what you would call counseling to do. I had a bit of the smoothing of ruffled feathers from the other mothers to try to explain to them that Yeshua could see beyond what had been in the past, what was possible in the future. Some of the mothers caught the vision and became my great friends. Some of you in this room were my great friends. Some of the other mothers, as is true in this day and time, said, no, I don't want to hear that. Life is a struggle. It is difficult. I want my children to know that life is hard, so that they will be trained in a way that they can deal with the hardships. So, okay, that's how that it had to be. But it was an interesting life. As I have said, Yeshua was my teacher because he brought up all these opportunities for me to look at things differently and to have ones coming to me and asking questions that I could answer because of my Essene training and because of my opening to the divine. But it was sometimes, as you have found, a challenge to find the words that would touch their heart in a certain way. Not to be too forceful, and yet to speak the truth. You have found in your life that there is a bit of a fine line that you walk intuitively with your friends. Some friends are wanting to know, what have you found? I see that you are happy. I see that you know something. I want to know. Other of your friends say, don't confuse me with something else. I know what I know, and that's it. And so you intuitively say, blessing, and allow them to go their way. Because truly, you recognize that you have been in their sandals in other lifetimes, and you have been the one who said, no, I have a world lesson that I want to learn. I have my own journey, my own path. Don't confuse me saying that there is more to life than what I see. So you have been in their sandals. So you can allow them to have their own journey. And in truth, all journeys lead back to the realization of oneness. So you do not have to take upon your shoulders a heavy responsibility of having to try to teach or try to lead them or drag them along. As you have found, that doesn't work. Yeshua studied in the Essene community. He studied all of the things that you have been playing with and experiencing in this week. And as he said to you with the mystery teachings of the mystics, usually at the age, well, he came into it sooner, but at the age of 7, ones would begin a study of certain perspective, as you have been doing in this week, of resonance with tone, of oneness with light, the same as you have been experiencing. And they would spend, as I did in the Essene community in my studies, a year or so working with various tones and various vibrations and knowing not only the one resonance of one tone, but knowing the harmonics of how the tones would be the same and yet at different level of harmonics. And so usually what we would do would be to spend a year on one subject, one aspect, as we were playing with each other. Because there was a lot of play in the Essene community. It was not all studies. It was not all reading the ancient scriptures, which of course we did do. It was not all copying, which we did do. There was time set aside in every day to work with the ancient teachings and the ancient writings, the scrolls, and as it was understood at that time, the best way to learn the ancient writings was to copy it and to write a new scroll. And if you made mistakes with it, then to go back and rewrite it and to correct it. So there was discipline, and yet there was what you would call the playtime as well, the time to be out in nature and to learn from nature, to feel when you were with the flowing water, with the trees, with the birds, to feel the opening of the soul itself and the opening of the heart, even the opening of all of the cells of the body, to be able to feel that expansion and to be aware. Now, you, many of you, love nature and you respond to it. You feel free. You like to walk in nature. You like to be in the fresh air, to be in the sunlight, and to feel the vibration of all life that is in nature. And this was part of our training. And this was part of what Yeshua also was raised with. You are in this week doing a very condensed course of what we did over a period of 5 years, from the time of being 7, or sometimes ones would come at the age of 8, until about 12 or sometimes 13. There would be the training, there would be the conversations back and forth with the teachers who did not set themselves as higher and above, but as companions, because there was always much that was learned from student to teacher, as the student would ask a question or would perhaps copy a manuscript not perfectly and yet would transpose perhaps some of the writing and give it new meaning. Then there was a discussion of perhaps a possibility of another way of looking at the ancient writings. So there was much that went on an equal footing with what would be called the teachers and the students. The younger ones are very open to new perspective. They are not set in a way yet, so that they are able to see things even at a very young age. The training itself, as it is called, formal training, began when they were about 7. But before that, the young ones, even at the age of 2 and 3 and 4, even in the infinite arms, yes, were welcomed into the Essene community and were sometimes, as Yeshua was at the age of 3, teaching the teachers because of his questions. You have this in this day and time, those of you who are in association with children, they're always asking, why? And then you have to come up with, well, it's because. And this gets you to thinking on a train of thought as to, well, why is such and such? And is it really bounded by the teachings that you have been taught generationally? Or is there a deeper meaning? Your little ones are great teachers. Why this? Why do you do? Why must I do? Etc. They're always asking, why does something happen the way it happens? Yeshua was very good at asking the why questions. and very good at giving answers. From a different perspective, so that he was often the one who would ask the tough questions of the rabbis, as you have a story in your Holy Scriptures, where when he went to the temple at the age of 12 and asked the priests and rabbis there, why is it this way? And some of the rabbis were hard-pressed to give him a satisfying answer, because the why. He wanted to know deeper meaning. And so he was a bit of a pest sometimes to ones who said, well, this is the way it has always been. But why? He was not satisfied. As he grew in the years and in understanding, he found that there was much that he remembered and could do, as we spoke of the small bird, that he just knew to pick up and to hold in his hand and to vision this bird alive and to give it the vibration of life. And so it responded, of course. All is one and all is energy, which he knew from birth, before birth. Even in the womb, he was quite active. As mothers will know this, most small ones before they are birthed are allowing you to know that they're there and they're ready to come out and do something. And even before the body is completely formed and ready to be on its own independently, there is much of activity. Well, Yeshua was one of those that sometimes would awaken me in the night, because he was awake, although in the womb, and he was moving about, probably asking, why am I here? Why am I still held in the womb? I don't know. But we did have conversations as he was in the womb. As many of you, as mothers, you have done this with the small ones before they are born. He knew life and the vibration of life. He knew, even as a small child of the age of 3 and 4, to grow a garden. He knew how to nurture the seeds and to take a seed in his hand and to imbue it with his energy before he put it into the ground, and it would grow. The same as you have some cultures in this day and time that say to plant the seeds by giving some of the saliva of the one who is growing the seeds, to put some of the essence of the person who is planting into and onto the seed to allow the seed to grow. He would hold the seeds in his hand and give them the energy to know the vitality of life. And so, again, he grew a most wonderful garden, which raised up the questions with the other mothers. I said, why is Yeshua's garden much better than mine? What kind of extra, you would probably call it fertilizer, what are you doing that is special? What is he doing that is special? Why is my son's garden not the same? Etc. Again, it was an interesting lifetime for me with the other mothers who would come and ask questions. And they were asking truly why. They wanted to know. And so for the ones who wanted to know, I would share with them his process of how he felt the life energy of the seed and blessed it before he put it into the ground. Some of them said, oh, That's an old superstition. That's an old belief. That's magic. It doesn't happen that way. But your garden does look good. As he became a teenager, he was still full of questions. And he wanted to go and study with other masters. He had studied with the masters in the Essene community. And he had asked his questions to the place of his satisfaction. And as he became the teenager, there was a feeling of wanting to travel, to be with other masters in other lands, because he had heard of teachers in far lands. So I had no choice, but I gave him my blessing and let him go. Now, many of you know that feeling as the small one with whom you have had conversation, you have had life with, you have held them, you have nurtured them, you have had conversation. They are very much a part of you, and all of a sudden they say, "But Mom, I want to go and study afar." And you say, "Okay." And it is as a part of you, and it is truly, that is expanding, but a part of you that is going. And so there was, as I have said, he was my teacher. There were my feelings to bless him and allow him to climb up on this camel and head off into the desert to find other masters to study with. We didn't have what you have nowadays with the most wonderful cell phones that you put up to the ear, and you can dial anywhere in the world on planet Earth and speak with one now. But we had something even better. We had the mental telepathy of being able to know where and what was going on, where that one was. And we could sit in meditation and envision where they were, how they were feeling. And there were times that I felt his confusion. And that is not easy for a mother, to feel a child's confusion and his questioning, because in his travels with the caravan that he went with on the camel, there were the, how do you put, gatherings of the ones who would come and take from the caravans anything that they could take. You call them thieves and robbers, I believe. Yes. And there were times that the caravan that he was with was attacked, and he could not understand why, when everything is all, and it is there for everyone, and you can manifest at any moment that which you need, because you do, anyway, he couldn't understand why there would be thieves and robbers and why there would be brutality and why ones would think that they had to come upon the caravan and forcefully take what would have been shared freely. And so at a distance, I could feel his confusion, and I could do what you would do, send him love and blessing and know that he would work it out in his own mind and understanding that these were ones who were not yet awakened to their own power of manifesting and thinking that they had to take from someone else. So there was much that he learned, but it was not so much learning, it was remembering, that he did in his travels, even before he met with the masters that he traveled to study with. In Tibet, what is known as Tibet now, in India, what is known as India now, and some of the other far reaches of places where he traveled, even to what is called now your Great Britain, to study with the Druids, as they are called. He had a yearning, a thirst, to be in dialogue with everyone and to gain new perspective from everyone that he spoke with. And so he would come up to you and he would speak with you just as friend to friend, And he would say, you know, how do you see such and such? And you would say, well, perhaps you hadn't even thought about it, but it could be this way. And he would say, yes, it could be that way. Or maybe it's another way. And there'd be this very easy conversation. He was a good conversationalist. He was a good storyteller. He loved a good story. He loved a good laugh. He loved to be in the company of others who were lighthearted and to sing the songs, sometimes what you would call the bawdy songs, because to him, nothing was off limits. Life, in all of its forms and all of its aspects, was wonderful. And so he would sing the songs that you would now say that in a tavern or a place of the, yes, the place of drinking, yes. He enjoyed being in the company of ones who wanted to feel light, wanted to sing, wanted to be joyous. And then he would come into conversation with them because he was, as they saw it, one of them. And he would perhaps plant a seed in their heart. So he did much of that, but it was a joyful planting of seeds. Nothing was ever heavy for him. The only time, as I have said, there was confusion sometimes when he would feel a sorrow that ones did not realize that they did not have to take by force that which they could manifest for themselves. And you have a writing in your holy scriptures that is very true, that when he looked upon Jerusalem and saw how hard it was, how the belief system was so set and was cruel in its harshness, that he wept, because he knew and wanted to share the lightness, the allness, the easiness and simplicity of life. And when he saw Jerusalem being so caught up in its ritual, in its old generational teaching and thinking, there was a sadness. And yet at the same time, there was a vision that he knew at some point in time, which has not yet come, ones in Jerusalem, in all of that area, all across the face of our Holy Mother, the earth, ones would live in harmony and would lay down all of the old teachings. But as you have been seeing with your news media, this is still in process. But he could see the vision that you can see, that at some point in time, it will come to the place where brother will look upon brother and see the brother as himself. And the sister will look upon the sister and see the sister as herself, as one, and realize that all of the so-called challenges of life are shared by each one, and that the way to lighten the burden is to share openly, easily, not to have to be rigid in the belief system. That time is coming. So he was, for me, a great companion from the time before his birth and after. He was a great teacher to me. And there were a few things that as a mother I taught him. I will take a bit of credit for opening his eyes to a few things that he would have come to in his own time. But perhaps as a mother you can share with the small ones before they get to that place where they know it themselves. And he gave me great challenge to see his journey and to realize that he realized what his journey was going to be and the demonstration that he would make that the body is not life. The body is just temporary raiment that is put on, and that you can request of one that they release the body, but the life is still there. And so he went through the experience of the crucifixion, and I saw him on the cross. And there was a moment as a mother that I saw him as my firstborn being treated cruelly, and then I moved quickly out of that space and trusted that he knew his journey, that he knew that what was happening was already foreordained by him to be the demonstration that the seeming life force can be allowed to dissipate from the body and then reactivated, which is what he did. After he was taken down from the cross, he was taken to a tomb, which was a cave, that his uncle, my brother, Joseph of Arimathea, had purchased for himself as a place of entombment for him. And when it was seen that Yeshua was going to need it before Joseph, Joseph said, "You can put his body there. It will be a safe place for the body." And during the time that he was in the tomb, many of us, many of the women disciples and of the men disciples who were in a place of trusting. Now I will make a statement that is a generalization. The women in that time, and I see it happening even in this time, are more open to intuitive understanding, usually, than men. But this is changing of the male gender. The male gender, because of the generational teaching, often have wanted to have it proved to them, logically. But the male gender now is coming to the place of accepting its feminine nature as well, and coming to a place of intuitive trusting. So we gathered together, as you will do even now when there is the releasement of a body. You gather around and you love the ones who are feeling that the loved one has gone and left them, and you say whatever is appropriate to them, and you love them, and you are there for them, the loved ones, the family. There were ones who supported me. I knew that there was going to be more to the story. I didn't know exactly what, but Yeshua had shared with me what he had seen with other masters of the revitalization of the body. And he knew that it could be done. I trusted that it could be done. In his case, I knew that some of the masters had been able to leave the body at a place of almost deceasement and then to come back to it and revitalize it. I wasn't quite sure, let's say 99.99% sure and a tiny bit of percentage hopeful that he would be able to do this. And the other ones who supported me, many of you in this room, held that vision. And as you have it written in your holy scriptures, on what is counted as the third day, he did come out of the tomb in the light that he is, as a body, but surrounded by a great aura, a very bright aura, because he had yet to adjust the aura to what is, quote, normal for the body. So The ones who first saw him as an angel, a bright light, because, again, he was in process of adjusting and feeling how it was with this new body that he was had reactivated. So he came, as you have written in your Holy Scriptures, to the upper room where we had been holding vigil, and he ate with us. And then he went forth to meet with others of the multitudes who had called him Rabbi, to meet with his disciples, the ones who yet wanted it to be proved to them that it could be, that he could do it, that he could come back from the dead. Well, now, as a small child, when he would take the dead bird and he would place his hand over it and bring it back to life, if he could do that, and he did, surely he could bring the dead body back to life. And he did, with the help. It was a bit more molecules to work with than the bird, although the bird was molecules of energy. He had help from other masters, as you all have help from other masters. Every day of your life, there are masters working with you, knocking upon the door of your mind and your heart, yes, and speaking with you, always there to support you, to love you, to believe in you when sometimes you do not believe in yourself. Always the masters are with you. Yeshua, as I have said, was a great teacher to many, and he was a great teacher to me, a great companion, and still is, for we travel together. He has made the joke from time to time about how does it feel that he cannot go anywhere without his mother being with him. How would you like it, he has said. I heard him say this. How would you like it if you couldn't go anywhere without your mother? But he is a great companion, and I to him as well. For you, I want to give you inspiration, to give you encouragement, to know that you stand upon the threshold of feeling the Christ of yourself, that newborn of you. You have felt that in this week as you have met with ones of like mind. You have felt that already, that the Christ of you is alive and well and meets with other Christ-like minds and hearts. That is why there have been the smiles, the hugs, the tears. That is why there have been the questions and the answers that you have shared with each other. This is a sacred gathering, a holy gathering, that you have manifested in order to revitalize and remember the Christ of you. And as my son said to you earlier in the week, when you leave this gathering, you will not be the same person that you were when you walked into this gathering only a few days ago. You already have felt changes. You have already felt lightness. You have already felt that you can live a life of hope and joy. And it's true. Yes. So I have come to speak with you this evening about mothering the Christ child of you, about being companion to that Christ child of you, listening to the Christ child of you, sometimes being in dialogue with the Christ child of you and being happy with the Christ child of you. Allow yourself to feel light, to know that you are birthing the remembrance of the divinity that you have always been. Take upon yourself the robe and shawl of the mother. Nurture yourself and the inner child, the Christ child of you. And know that always I love and walk with you. So be it. Wow. Now, we continue. Did you enjoy having the perspective of my life from the mother's point of view?
Yes.
She is very good at telling stories about me. It has been a wonderful time being together in this way with you and taking you on a journey, a very accelerated journey this week. One of the things that we will want to do now is to work with the life force that you find in nature, so that all of you have had a chance to pick up either a twig, a rock, some of the lichen, the moss that is growing, something that has the life force in it at some degree of measurement or another. All of you have had the feeling of revitalization when you are out in nature, when you have gone for the walk, when you have felt the wind in the trees. The wind was most wonderful for you today, was it not? Most strong wind. It was making its power known. It would push you around a bit, and you could feel its power. As we have said earlier, you do not always see, you do not see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind, and you could feel the effect of the wind. As you hold in your hand the piece of nature, allow yourself to feel a vibration of life at any level of vibration, because for some of you, what you are holding will seem to be more vibrant. And that is only a belief system at a certain point in your belief system. I am holding a most beautiful rock that you would say is rather dense and probably has a low vibration, and yet it would prove you wrong. It is a very high vibration. The same with the twigs and leaves and pine cones and the lichen that you feel that you hold, the bark of a tree. All of it has life force vibration still with it. The same as when my father spoke with you last evening about the wood, that no matter how it had been shaped and how it had been put into a different form, it still has the vibration and the life force, always will have. Take the piece of nature that you have chosen and put it up to the ear. Listen to it. Can you feel a tone? For it is singing. It is singing its life force to you. It is still very much alive. Some of you have had the experience of taking the seashell, the large seashell known as the conch shell, and holding it up to your ear and being able to hear the waves of the ocean. It is the same with a piece of nature that you have chosen. There is a tone with it, a singing, if you will. And as you get in tune with it, you will feel the life force of it. If at first you don't feel anything with it, try again. See if there is a story that it will tell you. Because every piece that you have selected has a history. It has a story. And it will be speaking to you of where it has been, what it has seen, how it has been formed, how the life force has been pulsating through it and is still pulsating. It has a story. You can feel it alive. As you hold it in your hand, feel the vibration of it. Some of the pieces that you have chosen are more easy to hold in your hand than others, but all of the pieces you can hold in your hand. And feel the warmth of that piece. Feel the life force of that piece. Feel a vibration, for there is a vibration that you can be in tune with. What note on the scale is your piece playing for you? B. B sharp? B flat?
Not B flat.
Not B flat. Just plain B.
Even closer to C.
Even closer to C on the scale. What color is it? A golden yellowy color. A bit of indigo, traces of the rainbow in it. What color is yours? The color that it seems to the physical eyes and then the color that it exudes in its vibration. The physical eyes, it's gray and silver with a touch of brown. And then the life force of it, what does it feel like? Feels more white. Yes. It is that light. Yes. You can do that with any piece of nature and get in a place of oneness with it. You can play with it. Feel the warmth of it. It is very warm when you take it out of the hand. And yes, it is the warmth of the hand, but it is also the resonance of the vibration of your vibration with it as well. And it's very warm. Again, put it up to the ear. See what it says to you. Know you that you all look like you were on your cell phones? You are all very fashionable. Right. Here, this phone call is for you. So you see, you do not have to go into your store and pay many golden coins for your cell phone. You just put it up to your ear. It is a bit of humor at this point, but in some point in time, this is truly what you will do because there will be the mental telepathy. You will not even need something as an adjunct to put up to the ear. You will just know. But it will begin, and it has begun, the process has begun, with a miniaturization of your technology so that you have the very small cell phones and you can talk with someone miles and miles away. And it is showing to you that you are going to get to the place where you won't even need the outward apparatus to talk. When you are out in nature, feel the wind, feel the sun, feel the expansiveness that life force is giving to you all around you. That is why you enjoy being up in the mountains, at the beach, different places where there is energy, different forms of energy, and you tune in to what is happening at a subconscious level. It isn't always that you are focusing. In fact, most of the time when you are in nature, you are not focusing on nature, but you are feeling it. And it very much adds to your vibration and adds to your healing. If there is a need for healing in any part of the body or with the emotions, allow yourself some time every day to sit in nature, to be in the quiet space, to watch the leaves as they rustle in the wind, to drink in the vibrancy of the green of the leaves, or in your autumn time, the vibrancies of the yellows and reds as the leaves turn their colors. They do it just for you, you know, to put on a beautiful show. They are the vibration of your manifestation. So honor what you are manifesting. When you are at the beach and you walk in the sand, be aware that every little piece of sand is and has been at some point a rock of different size that has been washed and worn to the place where it is now the smaller piece of rock. It is the sand that can be very fine sand. Pick up a handful of the sand when you are at the beach next time and ask of it, what history can you share with me? Where were you before you came to be on this beach? What is your story? What have you seen in the millennia of time when you were the great mountain and now you are the sand on the beach? What have you seen with the animals, the four-footed ones, the birds, the humankind? What have you seen as history? And just be one with the sand for a while and see what it will tell you. Each piece of nature, whether it be a leaf, a flower, a stone, a twig, some of the lichens, some of the bark off of the tree, is imbued yet with life force. All is energy. That may be one of the mantras that you may take from this week, that all is energy in different forms, different vibration, different tones, different light vibration, as you were one with a candle flame last evening. It is a very good mantra. All is energy. All is one. All is alive as the life force. And you are part of it. You are not separate from the rock, the pine cone, the piece of bark, whatever you are holding. It seems to be separate. And yet, as you will put the focus of your attention upon it and revere it as a piece of life force, it will come alive to you and it will speak to you if you have the time and the patience, if you can take the focus away from the world for a moment or so, if you are interested to have that connection. It is a suggestion that I make. You do not have to do it. But it is a good suggestion. It is another tool, another way. We have played all this week with different tools of the toning and of the crystals and the feeling of the life force in the crystals and the candle flame and the power of the light of the candle flame. We have played with how it feels to be in tune right now with the life force that you hold in your hand. How it proves to you at a level that perhaps isn't even conscious, that you are all one as energy, so that you can look upon everything with new eyes. As you will see the flowers in the bud, as you see them in full bloom, as you see them later as they lose their petals, you see the life force in its process, the same as you will see the birds that are flying about and watch them as they circle far high up in the sky, as they come down to the ground, and they sometimes will speak to you. There are ones flying about outside just now that are again attracted by your love, as was the bird last evening. There was a knowing of connection, which was, as you saw, a great miracle, because the bird was looking for love, looking for home, and found a home. There will be much that will come forth from that miracle yet, and there will be a report that we want to have later as to how it progresses. Last evening, a lost bird was not lost. It knew at a very deep level of the life force that it would be loved and protected, that it would find a home. And it has. And it seems a miracle. But you are doing miracles every day, every moment. You do a miracle every moment by keeping the body in a certain form, keeping the light in a certain shape and certain form, certain density. If you did not have the consciousness, which is truly a miracle, to keep the form as it is, the light would ascend and dissipate. But you have said, I want to walk with my brothers and sisters with a certain form. I want to be able to know the incarnation, the incorporation of spirit into a body. And so you do a miracle of focus moment by moment. Be aware. That is again something that I would ask of you. Be aware of the life force in everything. When you pick up a book, seemingly just pages of paper, perhaps. But where have those pages come from? What material is it? Most of the paper that you have has come from the trees, still has life force. There is nothing that is without life force. Everything that you manifest out of life force as a co-creator with life force. So be aware of how powerful you are. Be aware that you are manifesting everything in your life, even the things that you judge to be not so great. They all have a blessing in it for you. It is as that story of the boy who had the pony and had a pile of manure, so he knew there had to be a pony around somewhere. Sometimes all you see is the manure, but there's a pony around somewhere. There is not much more that can be or will be shared with you in this week as the certain points or clues for remembrance, because truly all of you have come to a place of understanding resonance with all of life force. It is not something that can be taught. It can be suggested. It can have clues. But it is not something that can be taught. But it is something that can be remembered. And deep within you, you know life force. You know how to heal. It was spoken of last evening. You know that when you become one with life force, the body will heal itself. You know how to manifest because you are manifesting a body. You are manifesting the golden coins that allowed you to do the exchange, to make trek, to come here. You manifest what you hold in your hand as the oneness of energy that you are. You do not have to struggle and learn great rituals as to how to manifest. All you have to do is to be aware that you are manifesting and to thank yourself for what you are manifesting and to bless it and call it good. Every thorn, every issue, every pain, bless it and call it good, because it is an example of what you are able to manifest. It is easier sometimes to bless the seemingly good things in the life and to say, oh, that was a blessing. That friendship is great. That music transports me above the worldly concerns, etc. And you call it good, and it is. But even the thorns, the prickly things, call them good as well. They are part of the power of your manifestation, the power of manifesting. In the mystery schools, the main point, the final point before what you would call graduation, was the realization of awareness of life force in all things. From that come manifestation of whatever you want to manifest, golden coins, friendships, dwelling place, vehicle, whatever you want to manifest that may be in tangible form or intangible. Awareness of life force brings forth the healing. So you know how to manifest, you know how to heal. You know how to be in a place of joy because all you have called good, all is good, all is joyful. You know how you resonate as the vibration of your own individual tone and how you make harmonics with other ones. You have experienced that even in this evening where there was the toning and the overtones and the undertones and how beautiful the whole was as it came together. So you know how to have resonance with all of life, with all of the tones of energy. The final point before the graduation was the realization of awareness of how powerful you are, how holy you are, and to count yourself as the Blessed One, as you have been writing, hopefully, in your notebook, three things each day of beauty and of oneness. If you have been doing that, even one night, and hopefully more than one night, you will see how blessed you are. You will see what a master you are, how you have called forth in that day the beauty of the three things or more that you have listed in your little notebook. Awareness. That is the last step before graduation. The realization, making real in your experience that awareness of who and what you are. That is what this week has been all about, is bringing forth clues, bringing forth the experience of being in the flow of the energy to the place where you are aware. You are alive. You are the life force. You are living, breathing, feeling, sentient beings. awareness in every moment brings forth the knowing of the Master that you are, the remembrance of the knowing. For truly all of you are Masters, and there is nothing that I can teach you that you do not already know. I have given you throughout the week clues, and you have responded to the clues. Now, for the remainder of this evening, I would suggest that you talk with your partner once again. This is most important. That is why we had you pick a partner on the first evening and to share experiences and be aware of that partner, how they look, how fine the hair texture is. Is there hair? What color is it? What does the face look like? If you had to describe to another person what your partner's face looked like, could you describe it? What color are the eyes? What shape is the nose? What does the mouth look like? Is the chin square? Is it rounded? Is it pointed? How long is the neck, or how short is the neck? What are the shoulders like? Look at your partner to the place where, if you had to, you could describe them down to a detail. If it is a feminine energy, are they wearing earrings? What do the earrings look like? What is the piece of jewelry looking like? What is the fabric of the raiment that they wear? Awareness to every detail. Awareness to what they are feeling, how they see themselves, because they have been opening up to you and sharing with you, awareness of how you have felt in their presence and how you have connected, awareness of what name they call themselves in this lifetime, so that if someone asks you, what is the name of your partner? 6 months from now, you will say, her name was Cheryl. And this is what she looked like. And you would be able to describe. Her name is Jane. And this is how she looked. This is what she shared with me. 6 months from now. Delve deeply into awareness. It is the human way that you have been taught to have surface awareness, to carry on conversation as to what you should say, and to be very, what is the word I want, accommodating to the other one, not to truly see them as they are, but to see them as you think they want you to see them. Sometimes you can do them a favor by seeing them as they are and loving them as they are and allowing them to say, by your acknowledgement, that they are okay, just the way they are. Because again, generational teaching has been that you are not perfect, that you can always be better. It has been a teaching from the time you were little to always strive to be better. Not many have told you that you are perfect just the way you are, that you are a miracle the way you have put the body together. Every detail as to the texture of the hair, the color of the hair, how it feels, whether it is heavy or whether it is light, whether the eyes sparkle, whether the eyes have the spectacles in front of them, whether they have, if the partner shares with you, perhaps what is called the contact of the contact lenses. Details. Awareness, awareness of life force, and then the respect and honor and reverence for the miracle of life force. Awareness. So for the remainder of this time and this evening, spend time with your partner. Do not be in a hurry to leave them. Take in everything about them. For one of you, this will be the last evening that you are in association, so there is much that you will want to be aware of and take home. For the rest of you, again, 6 months from now, if someone asks you, you were at a grouping in the mountains and you had a partner. What was his name? What was her name? What did you notice most about that person? And you will be able to say, her name was June, like the month of June, and her eyes sparkled. The hair was a beautiful silver that showed much of knowledge. The eyebrows were a bit darker and arched, very pretty. The earrings that she wore were of Native American style, etc. Awareness, detail. Be aware. Take it one step further. Be aware of the breath. Because sometimes, again, as you are focusing very deeply on some aspect, you forget to breathe. Remember the deep breath that allows that space of inspiration and allows that space of peace. Remember the silence. We work well together, the light and I. Remember what peace there is in silence. As he has dropped his rock upon the floor. Remember the time of silence when you leave this room and you return to your dwelling place in this evening. Keep the silence until 10 in the morning, tomorrow morning, if possible. Write notes if you have to. If you meet with someone who will not understand your silence, then break the silence temporarily. Do not make for confusion with someone who needs to have the spoken word. Use the sign language if you want to, but allow yourself awareness of the silence and the depth of peace in the silence, and smile in the silence, because you will find that is what comes forth. It will be the smile. For the remainder of the time, share it with your partner. Keep the silence when you leave this room. And on the morrow, we will meet in the evening and we will have fun with the questions and the answers that you will manifest. So be it.